In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
A certain mother was at wit's end, went to see her therapist. After speaking together, the therapist says to the mom, "Let's see, you spend 50% of your energy on your job, you spend 50% of your energy at church, 50% of your energy on your husband, and 50% of your energy on each one of your three children. I think I see your problem." Quite a while ago, the Washington Post editorial board was asked by a women's group to name the 12 greatest mothers in the United States. After several weeks of deliberation, the editors published a single statement. And that statement went like this: "The 12 greatest mothers in the United States are women who likely have never been heard of outside their own homes and neighborhoods." Today in our nation, we celebrate mothers, and much has been and will be written, said, and posted about moms and motherhood. And I think I have to largely agree with the editorial board of the Washington Post. What makes a mother great is not how well known they are, but the love, the care, the selfless actions, the protection, and yes, indeed, the endless apparent energy that they devote to those closest to them, or perhaps more accurately, to anyone that God sends their way. Having said that, I would like to reflect, however, on a couple of mothers that we do know about, that whose names did become well known. And the first one is perhaps the most well-known mother, Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. We know a lot about her accepting Angel Gabriel's message, being willing to carry the Messiah, the faith and the turmoil, the dedication and the joy and the heartache that went along with that vocation in this world. But what I'd like us to also remember today is the way that Mary continually was thinking of others, even over the little things. Not just the grand events of bringing the Messiah into the world, but the little things. We, most of us, are familiar with that story of the wedding in Cana in John's Gospel. The couple there are having their wedding reception. They run out of wine. Now, Mary's not the hostess. She's not the hostess. She's a guest. But she immediately puts herself in the position of the bride and groom and understands how embarrassed they will be. She puts on her empathy and does a very motherly act. She goes and gets her son Jesus and just says to him the simple sentence, "They have no wine." When Jesus resists, she goes to get the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you." Puts him on the spot, as it were. You can see her motherhood kicking in, both in her boldness in front of the Messiah, but much more basic. She had the means to help, and she's going to help. That bridal couple were children to her. The second mother I'd like us to consider is the Samaritan woman in the gospel today. We know her by the name Saint Fotini, which means the enlightened one, a name she most certainly received after baptism. From the story, we can assume she did not have the best reputation back in town. Type of woman who went to the well by herself. She's gone through five husbands. She's living with a man that she's not married to. As a village, they might have given up on her, but she never gave up on them. When Fotini believes that she has met the Messiah, the Savior, she knows that's news for everyone. And she goes back to town and tells everyone that she can that she thinks she's met that Messiah. And despite the likely tension, despite possibly even ridicule, whispers behind her back who she thinks she is telling us. These town folks are family to her, and this is important news. "Come see someone that has told me all I know. I think he might be the Savior we've all been waiting for." Now, both these stories I chose to share reflect on motherhood, but on the surface, they're kind of opposite. On the one hand, you have something as grand and great as the arrival of the Messiah that for generations, even centuries, has been waited for. On the other, you have a small wedding, and Mary just wants to save the bridal pair a little bit of embarrassment. But in a sense, that is motherhood. That is motherhood. This compassion, this sacrificial love, this putting aside personal wants, this stepping up for others, this living the kingdom in the world for things great and small, to see others as your children, whether they're your children or not. And in that case, no historical event is going to be too great for motherhood to act, and no small detail is too little for motherhood to notice. Motherhood captures both ends and everything in between. One additional detail I'd like to draw your attention to is that in neither of the stories I shared was motherhood about biological offspring. And no, I'm not trying to diminish that. It's just that so much in the world will already cover that relationship. I want us to see the spiritual side. Because there is a spiritual motherhood which sees everyone as family, everyone as children, which realizes that in Christ we are one family. If our own child is hungry, we'll feed our child. If our own child is cold, we'll give that child a coat. In fact, if we are cold, we give that child a coat. This has everything to do with strangers if we believe in spiritual motherhood. You see it when a 7-year-old girl takes under her wing a 3-year-old. What do we say? She's such a mother to him or her. You see it when Mary interceded to our Savior on behalf of a young married couple. You see it when Fotini shares the discovery of the Messiah with anyone in the village willing to listen. There is a spiritual motherhood who sees everyone as family. As a last word, sometimes people want to hear or read a theology of motherhood as if it needed that to validate it or something. I say motherhood does not need theology as much as theology needs motherhood. Compassion, sacrificial love, putting aside personal wants, living God's kingdom in this world for things both great and small, to see others as your children, whether they're your children or not, to know in Christ we are one family, that's not a theology of motherhood. That is theology because it is motherhood. Amen. Christ is risen.